Morning, Way Fellowship Church. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. If you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. We've got plenty of Bibles. I go verse by verse, so it's going to be beneficial to you. Bill, can you get some Bibles right here? These two? Thank you. You guys ever had a difference of opinion with someone? Never. Have you ever had a difference of opinion with someone where it just blew up and severed the relationship? That it just became so emotionally charged that it just imploded and you found yourselves just parting ways? Have you ever been there? Some major seasons of my life, you know, I was in a band or heavy metal rock band for 7 years. And so we always had a new drummer. A difference of opinions, you know. And you want to keep that relationship, but there's just so much tension still. And you just need to part ways. As a teacher, you know, different principals, different students, just things happen. And you find out that it's just best to kind of part ways and do your own thing. And then even as a pastor, in the short career being a pastor, 5.5 years, there have been those relationships with certain individuals, difference of opinion, that unfortunately have just ended in parting of ways. The question we have is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? And that's what we're going to kind of wrestle with today's text. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas, two guys who have been doing ministry together for a couple years. God's just been doing amazing things in them and through them. And yet, there's this one suggestion that ends up imploding their relationship. So if you guys would turn with me to verse 36, we're going to start here today. Continuing the story of the birth of the church, continuing the story of the Holy Spirit's movement within his early church. Verse 36, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" So let's review. God had been working mightily and powerfully through these two men in the province of Galatia. If we go back several chapters, these two men had been traveling through this province of Galatia, and they had planted at least 5 different churches. Think about this. This is one church plant. We've been going at it for 5.5 years. These guys successfully planted 5 different churches in this new Gentile area. And Paul suggests, let's go back and let's see how they're doing. Let's continue to strengthen. Let's do some follow-up discipleship. Let's make sure that these guys are anchored and stable and growing and flourishing. So thus far, we've seen much to celebrate. 3 things in particular. We see a Gentile church plant in the city of Antioch. Okay? Before that, Christianity was just regulated to the Jews in Jerusalem. But through Paul and Barnabas' ministry, we see this church of Antioch flourish in this Gentile nation. Number 2, we see the first successful long-term missionary journey. Up until this point, we had, you know, Philip talking to the Ethiopian, and he still stayed in Palestine area. We see the first missionary journeys going out into all the ends of the earth, and churches are being birthed from that. And then number 3, a couple weeks ago, Thomas preached last week, but a couple weeks ago, we saw the first big debate in the church. You ever been in a church with a big debate? Well, there's this huge debate, and they came through it successfully. It was resolved. But, have you ever noticed when things are going really well, what happens? When things are just going really well, doesn't it seem like just around the bend, something bad is lurking, ready to happen? God's been blessing their ministry, but the truth is that we're going to be addressing today our flesh, I think often, the devil sometimes, and the world constantly wars against the Lord and the gospel and the truth. and the life. We need to remember, when everything's going great, we're still in the middle of a battle, a spiritual battle. And these three things are always warring against the gospel going forward. Okay? They might war against our families, and we might lose a job, and we might... But the real issue, guys, is that these three things are warring against the gospel moving forward and the proclamation of Jesus. Now, we are saved, we say the prayer, we bend our knee, we come to Jesus, we surrender our lives, we receive that salvation. Theologically, it's called justification. In that moment in time, we are stamped and we are His. You guys tracking with me? But once we commit ourselves to the Lord and we are His, are we perfect? No. We're still waiting until eternity for that moment where we're perfect, where we're made perfect in glorification. Between justification and glorification, what's in the middle, theologians? Sanctification. So we're still in this process of being made separate, being made perfect. We're still going to mess up and screw up all the time, right? Amen? So even though we are His, we still mess things up. And there's still conflict and there's still these struggles between people. Even within this body, the church. Right? Right, guys? I'm going to screw up occasionally. You're going to screw up occasionally. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived. Because sin is still present. And sin still divides. Okay? Sin divides us from God. Right? Vertically. Got that? It's easy. But sin also divides horizontally you from each other. Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit. God showed up and He said, where are you guys at? Because what were they doing? Hiding. All right? The Hebrew's pretty picturesque and vivid. God says, where are you? And they hear His voice, and the two of them jump into separate bushes. Sin separates man from woman. So even though we're the church, even though we are His, we're His beloved, God loves us, God's justified us, He's still in the process of sanctifying us. We're still going to err. We're still going to mess up with one another. And today, we see this huge division between two of God's people. But, okay, the second part of the central truth today, but nothing at all can prevail against the gospel. Nothing can stop it from going forward. Our flesh, the devil, and the world might hinder its progress for a time. It might frustrate it just a little bit. But nothing will ever prevail against the power of the gospel. That's what we're about. That's what we're on target for. Yes, we want great families, children who obey us, and go on to college and get good careers and get married and have great grandchildren. But we are about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Amen? That's what we're about. And when we understand that God is about that also, we can have this confidence that nothing can prevail against it. So we get into the major issue today in verse 37. Everything's hunky-dory, verse 36. But notice, 37, now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, also called Mark. But one suggestion, guys, just one suggestion, and it all turns to pot. Barnabas suggests, hey, let's take John Mark with us on the second missionary journey. But, verse 38, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to work. You see, in their first missionary journey, John Mark was with them, but in the middle of it, he abandoned them. He dropped out. And the but is very important. It's followed by this idea that he thought best not. This is an ongoing verb in the Greek. This is like ongoing in Paul's mind. He can't get rid of it. He does not like the idea of taking John Mark with them again. Because he ditched them the time before. And they're about serious business. Acts 13:13, we read that account. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Why did he leave them? I don't know. We can speculate. Missionary work is really tough, right? It's you maybe another dude, maybe three dudes. You're speaking different languages, different cultures. You're dirty. You're walking. You don't have cars back then. You don't know where your next meal's coming from. How did Paul do it? He made tents. He had bivocational. So, you know, maybe for John Mark, it was just too tough. Or maybe he was homesick. You know? He needed some more time with mommy. I don't know. Or maybe he was frustrated. Because if you've been studying this book called Acts, the story starts out with Barnabas plus Paul. But you get to around 13 and a half, it becomes Paul plus Barnabas. Over time, Paul surpasses Barnabas' leadership. And John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. Maybe, you know, he didn't like seeing his cousin become supplanted. I don't know. But the point is, he left. And for Paul, this is just a big issue. It starts with a difference of opinion, but it becomes something much worse. Verse 39, and there arose a sharp disagreement. See, difference of opinion, but now it's blown up into a sharp disagreement. This word sharp disagreement comes from the stem, which means to provoke to anger. At this point, they have been provoked to anger. Have you ever been there? Just one stupid suggestion, one person's opinion, all of a sudden, it's like you guys are no longer friends. Have you ever been there? Just weird, right? And they separated from each other. They separated. Sin separates. Flesh separates. This had to be painful because Barnabas was the one who introduced Paul to the church of Jerusalem. He spoke on his behalf, right? Barnabas was his mentor for all these years. And the last part here is, as we continue to read the Bible, there is no evidence that they ever reconciled. It's just silence. Last part of 39, Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Now, some good things. Barnabas was also known as the son of what? Does anyone remember? Encouragement. The son of encouragement. Sons of thunder were the John and James. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. He believes in his heart that there's still good in John Mark, and he separates from his mentee and he takes with him John Mark, and they go on the journey together. He lives up to his name and he continues to encourage his little cousin John Mark. Verse 40, but Paul chose Silas. So this didn't affect just John Mark. Think about this. Silas had been with them in the previous chapter. Silas had become a part of this team. Could you imagine being Silas standing right here and listening to them argue? Awkward, right? But think about this. Silas had to take sides. Silas had to take sides. He was part of the team. And this was hard on him as well. He had to make a decision who he was going to go with. He chooses Paul. And that's not it. Verse 40, end of it, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Check this out. This division not only affected John Mark and Barnabas and Paul, it affected Silas, but it also affected the church of Antioch. Do you see what happens there? The church of Antioch did what? They had to make a decision, and they chose what? According to what we have recorded, what did they do? They commended who? Paul. It's silent on the issue of Barnabas. Now, could they have endorsed Barnabas too? Yes. But what does Scripture say? And what does it not say? We can speculate, but what I'm trying to get across here is this is painful. And it's divisive. And it hurts, right? It hurts. What do we see here? Guys, even the most godly men and women can experience major conflict to the point where separation occurs. Now look, we're not talking about divorce. Let me be clear. We're talking about ministry. And ministry is tough. And we have all sorts of opinions and methodologies and practices. Styles of worship, carpet colors, logos, signs on the building, programs. And there's going to be points where we differ on how the gospel is supposed to go forth. And here we see this painful division where two ministers of the gospel part ways. And then verse 41, and he, Paul, went with Silas through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. These differences of opinions become irreconcilable differences. Now, sad story, but we have two important truths. First, the story's not done. First, we have this truth that God will use all of our conflict for His good. In spite of it all, in spite of whose fault it was, who was right or wrong, we have this confidence that God will use all the bad things and turn them into good things for His namesake. Amen? We read this. No, I'm not going to go there yet. Let me stay here. Subpoint one. What do we see in this story? We see that although there was a separation, the gospel continued to do what? It continued to advance. It continued to go out. And most specifically, now we have what? Not just one missionary team going forth. What do we have, class? Painful division, hurt, bitterness. But God uses that for His glory, and now we have two teams going out proclaiming the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Painful, but God's using it for His glory. And then number two, God will use also, He will also use all this conflict that we experience for our good. For our good as well. You've been in the church before. You've experienced the politics of church. You know, church is not the steeple. It's the what? And people are sinful, and we're all going to mess with one another at one point or another. And people are messy, and it rubs off, and we get mad, and we leave the church, and we go on to the next. You know what? God will still work all of that for even our good. Bible Bill's favorite verse, Romans 8:28. You want to read it, Bill? No? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. And class, what is our purpose? Is it to get a bigger home? Newer car? Have 2-3 kids? What is our purpose? It is to preach the gospel, to take that word into all nations. If it wasn't our purpose, we would no longer be here. We'd be up in heaven with Him. But He works all things good for that purpose. And through these hard situations, these difficult circumstances, He shapes us. The encouraging word for today is that the Son of Encouragement took this guy, John Mark, who was probably battered around, felt shameful, rejected, nothing. This Son of Encouragement continued to take him under His wing. And this guy, John Mark, who had abandoned Paul in the first and who felt rejected by Paul next, this guy became something. This guy, John Mark, was used by God, shaped during this time to do many great things for the kingdom of God. First, Paul later will recognize John Mark's value. Three different times Paul writes about John Mark later in the letters. Colossians 4:10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. What do we learn from this verse? Later on in Paul's life, who's standing next to him? Mark, John Mark. Later on, even though Paul got bent out of shape, didn't think John Mark was of any value, later on we see that John Mark is by Paul's side, ministering, serving, sharing the gospel alongside of him. We also read in Philemon's 23 through 24, Paul speaking again, Epaphras, the great name. Ladies, would you name your son Epaphras? My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus sends greetings to you, as so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Again, in another section, another church in a different nation or something, John Mark is there with him again. And then the third one, 2 Timothy 4:11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Bad things happen, but God uses them for good. Sometimes we have to go through the refinery to get shaped and squeezed for His glory, to be a further use and more potent use in His future work. Paul finds John Mark useful. Number two, Peter speaks about John Mark too. In 1 Peter 5:12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Peter, the apostle, we know through history of the church, had a mentor relationship also with this guy, John Mark. And here, he doesn't just say he's useful, he refers to him as my son. This guy, John Mark, who was rejected, who abandoned his post, who was rejected by Paul later, useful by Paul, son by Peter. And number three on the list, John Mark, this dude, this little kid who abandoned his post, you know? This dude ends up writing the Gospel of Mark. This dude. You read a story and you just kind of read through it and you think, nah, it's not much there, cool, they had a fight. But see, when we're in the midst of it, we don't realize the plans God has for us. And we don't realize that the struggle and the confusion, the frustration, is how God is shaping us, that He might use us in the future. This kid probably never dreamed that he would be writing a book that billions of people have read for the last 2,000 years. And the impact that God used him to have in His church. So what do we learn today? Wrapping it up. Again, looking at the central truth. Regardless of whatever this world throws at us, God shows us time and time again that nothing is more powerful than the gospel. We have these road bumps, we have these hiccups, we have these things that the enemy throws at us, but nothing is more powerful than the gospel. And its constant movement forward, penetrating darkness. How can we respond today? I have three things that I would like you to ponder. Three things that I would like you to just go to God with today. Number one, if you currently are holding any bitterness against a fellow brother or sister from a hurt that you've experienced in your past, you have this opportunity today to confess that to God, and after the service, go to that person. I would find it odd that in this building we do not have prior hurts because of someone in the church who wronged us, or who a situation or circumstance we allowed to flare up and become bigger than the power of the gospel. And today I encourage you, as God speaks to your heart, if He puts a face in front of your mind, please spend some time confessing that hurt and asking God to restore that relationship. Some of you guys know Brian Smith. He was our first worship leader at The Way. Well, he was also my first bass guitarist in my big, awesome rock band in college. And one day he showed up at my stoop and he said, "Hey man, I got to quit the band." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. You know, I guess it's God's time." Christy and I found out we were pregnant with Jeffrey like the next day. So, you know, God confirmed that chapter in my life had closed. But like a week later, I found out that Brian was doing another band with my brother and my guitarist, and they didn't invite me. God had called them off to a different ministry, and he was calling me to a different ministry. But I still got angry about that and bitter, and for like a year and a half, never gloried in their success, never smiled in how God was using them. Until one night, God convicted of me that, and I called my brother Brian, and I said, "Dude, I'm sorry. It's been a year and a half, and I've just been bitter about this." And you guys know Brian, some of you, and he's like, "Dude's all right, no problem." And Brian became our first worship leader 9 months later. You think he would have done that? You think God would have put that together if I hadn't have called him and just confessed? Today, if there's any bitterness over a past hurt, a past wrong, confess that to the Lord and be obedient and maybe call that person up as well. Number two, maybe on the opposite side of the spectrum, you felt like John Mark. Somewhere along the line, you abandoned the call. You were busy serving the Lord. You were doing things. You were wheeling and dealing. And now you find yourself just sitting on the sideline. Standing before you, asking you to trust me. God still has a purpose for your life. And it's about the gospel. Will you jump back on the path? Will you get back on the bike? And will you start again serving the Lord like he's called you to do? Will you again take that step of faith and begin the process of asking God, what and how do you want me to serve you? Because God took someone who, you know, abandoned the mission and he put him back on mission. And last one, maybe you're not bitter with anybody. Maybe you're currently faithfully following the Lord. But for whatever reason, your faith has been challenged. Your faith and your trust in God has just been completely challenged. You know, you've been through the grinder, whatever. What's the right metaphor? You've been through there you go. Any one of those would do. And you're just having a hard time believing that God can take all that bad and turn it into good. Guys, we have this awesome story today about how God took bad and made it good. And I'm here standing before you telling you that he can do the same in your life. But it requires you to trust him. And it requires you to take a step forward again towards him, not away from him like you've been doing. Yes, you've been through it. But will you take a step forward and trust him today that he can take all of that and make it good once again? This is the power of the gospel. Nothing can prevail against it. Nothing. That's what Jesus came for. You're looking at your life, it's all messed up, you got lots of baggage. That's why Jesus came. He came for you. To take care of that. To take it off of you and to put it upon himself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We praise you that it's encouraging. We praise you that it's true. And we just ask, Lord, that you would penetrate our hearts today, Lord. You've spoken to our minds, but I pray that you would penetrate our hearts, that we might be affected by your power, so that we would move our feet, Lord, so that we would use our hands and we would be obedient to what you've calling us to do. Lord, you're speaking to each of us uniquely today. I just ask that for each person here, that we all might surrender ourselves to you, that we all might listen to your voice, and just be obedient with whatever it is you're telling us to do today. Because we want your name to be glorified. We want your story to be told through our lives. We want to see evidence and proof of your power flowing through us so that other lives are changed as well. That you might receive all glory. And we ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We are continuing in worship, guys. I'm going to be back there for a bit. If you want to pray, please come and talk to me.